I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people at Fashion Week or at fashion events. They're like, oh, they ask like what I do. And I'll say I'm a plus blogger. They're like, oh, that's so great. You have such a good niche. I'm like, we're not a niche.
We're the majority.
I know, like you have a niche actually.
Yes.
But yeah, no, but it's really wild because it's still really thought of in that way of the of that this is just like a niche market and it's not real fashion. It's just an offshoot. It's not anything to be taken seriously or given due respect, or it's just treated as like specialty.
Welcome to the Bod Pod, the podcast where everybody is welcome. I'm your host, Rachel K. Grimm, and each week we welcome old and new friends to talk all things body image, self-love, and confidence. This is the Bod Pod.
Hey, Bod Pod Squad. I'm Rachel K. Grimm, the confidence coach behind Ditch the Click and your Bod Pod host. Every week from my cute Brooklyn apartment, I'm bringing you confidence boosting conversations with your favorites in the space. Today, I have one of my favorites, an OG in the space as well, Sarah Chawaya, who is also known as Curvily. She is a plus size fashion blogger, the founder of New York City Plus, and all things fitting room try-ons too. Yeah. Sarah, I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. I honestly, this is something I could talk about all day, every day. I really like what you're doing with the Bod Pod.
Thank you so much. Now more than ever, we need to have conversations like this because we who are in the space so heavily are feeling that we are just being bombarded with messaging that's telling us that it's not okay to look the way that we look and that we need to look another way in order to be happy with ourselves, in order to feel confident. You actually recorded a video right after New York Fashion Week talking about how we've never seen so few body types on the runway. I think you said the highest that we've ever seen plus included in runway shows has been at 3%. That was the highest we had when we are the plus community represents 67% of the population. And as someone who attended Fashion Week this season, I noticed that too. And so I want to talk about how, one, how you found the confidence to assert yourself in those rooms when you weren't being shown or you weren't being seen. And now how that's affecting you when we're not even showing up as like 3% on the runway too.
Yeah, no, I think one of the things you said resonated with me so deeply of this idea that we're reverting to this idea that your body needs to be a certain type of way, a certain size, a certain type in order to be respected, be seen as fashionable, be seen as valuable. And I know from experience that that can take over your life. And honestly, like I've been doing this for about 10 years now. I actually just had my 10th anniversary of blogging. And the
that's amazing. Congrats.
Thank you. I know I need to actually do something about it. I've just been so busy. I haven't had a chance to. The reason I started actually back in the day was I started on Tumblr and I started very casually, but the moment that led into it, it was a cascading things. I was getting married and I was body shamed horribly when I was wedding dress shopping. And I was already, frankly, very much disordered eating, trying to shred for the wedding and lose all this weight. And I was much smaller than I am now. It was probably like a 14. I was trying to get down to a 12 and my body is just not set up for that. But I was starving myself trying to do that because I thought that's what I needed to do in order to be a bride, even though my husband fell in love with me exactly as I was and was not encouraging this whatsoever. All the messaging that I was taking in, this is before I discovered body positivity, before I discovered fat acceptance. So I was just like, okay, I gotta eat these almonds for lunch. And like literally I was eating the 100 calorie packs of almonds for meals and that's not, and I was working really long hours and everything. So that was what I was going into. And I got body shamed at all these wedding dress places. And I just had this horrible experience. And then when I finally found a dress and I got married and I got my photos, my wedding photos back. And the first thing I saw when I saw my photos is like, I look fat. That was like the top note that went through my head. I literally was like, oh my God, everyone looks beautiful. The photos are great. I look fat. I have a double chin from smiling so hard at this photo. My arm looks fat because I'm squeezing my husband. Those were the things I was doing. I was picking myself apart in this beautiful moment. And I was like literally finding moments that were joyous and happy. And I'm like, all these things, all these like non-photogenic moments of me were because I was in love and marrying the love of my life. But still I was sitting there objectifying myself because I was thinking I'm not good enough. So that was the first time I saw my photos. And then shortly after that, I actually found like the first plus fashion bloggers. And I didn't even know that was a thing at first. So I started following a bunch of them. And then fast forward 4 months later, when I was making an album, and mind you, I've been married for 10 years. I still not made the album, but I was planning to make the album. But I was going back and looking at those photos again. And instead of picking myself apart or being hateful to myself, I was like, I look happy. And that was my light bulb moment. I was like, oh my gosh, this has changed how I feel about myself. Just that 4 months of intaking different imagery, not just looking at, because I love fashion. fashion. So I would just look at like fashion magazine. I would see tall and thin and tall and thin and tall and thin. And I'm 5'4". The smallest I've been in my adult is like a 14. So like, I just was like, I guess this isn't for me anymore, even though I always loved it. And all of a sudden I was looking at women with different shapes and sizes, larger than me, smaller than me, different body types, but they were all fashionable and cool and had great style and were confident and like secure in who they were and living their lives. Their size wasn't the defining feature of them. It was part of who they were and it was part of their experience. And of course, informs like the options we had shopping and everything like that. But just seeing them, just having that representation change how I felt about myself in such a sharp and concrete way. I was like, wow, this is powerful. There were very few people doing it at this time. So I was like, I want to be part of this. If I can make one other person feel this way, that'll be worth it. So I started posting my photos on Tumblr. And
iconic.
Hashtag fatchin, which was the big hashtag back then. And I just found a community through that. And I just started doing it. And I slowly started to develop my personal style. And like, I went from not ever wearing stripes or not ever wearing bright colors, because that would make me look bigger. And I went from dressing to minimize myself to dressing for expression and dressing for fun and dressing because it's what made me happy. And yes, it has changed my life. So I love to be able to spread that message for other people. And it's one of my favorite things to do. We deserve to have a place in fashion as plus size people. Like you said, we're the majority population. Yeah. That 67% number was from pre-pandemic. So if anything, I would estimate there's probably even more plus size people now. And like, we really have been just marginalized and not treated as a part of the fashion industry, even when we're there. And like I said, I've been doing this for about 10 years. I've been going to Fashion Week for almost 10 years now. September will be my 10th year anniversary of Fashion Week. People will literally look me up and down and act like I'm not supposed to be in the seat, even though it's my assigned seat. I've had somebody try to take the seat away from me as the head of the PR agency was walking me to my seat. There was a guy in my seat and he was like, oh, this is my seat. And the woman who's the head of the PR agency was like, no, it's not. You have to move. But he really looked at me and thought he could disrespect me that way and lie and get away with it because he thought this woman doesn't belong here. He immediately assumed that I didn't have a place there, even though I did, because that's been the norm and that's what it is. And like you said, I'm often one of the few in the room and I don't like that. I want there to be other plus size women there. I don't want to be the only one. And I know a lot of my peers have stopped going because it's such a bad experience sometimes. Like it can be very wearing and like emotionally draining. And I know if you haven't been to Fashion Week, you're probably like, oh yeah, going to Fashion Week must be really hard. And I feel like it is still a cool experience, but then like
it is.
But when you're also being constantly told like, hey, like, whether it's through words or looks or actions or whatever the case may be, that you don't belong here, and that all week. And then you see who's on the runways and it's no one that looks like you. And then you see who's getting photographed and it's no one that looks like you. And like, the numbers have come out recently about this. A couple of different outlets have done like analysis of what's actually happening. And it just validates everything I already knew, right? Like, it's not surprising. But for example, this season Vogue Business did a thing about how many plus models were on the runway across the board for the entirety of Fashion Month. And it's 0.06%, less than 1%, just over 0.5%. And that's of all of Milan, London, Paris, New York, all of that 0.06%. And like, that is a pittance. That's a drop in the bucket. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's like for plus size models and for mid size models, which they classify as like 6 to 12, I believe. Right. That was only 3.8%. So that means like 95.6% of models were size 4 and below.
Yeah.
Those women deserve representation as well, but they have an overabundance of it because the vast majority of people are not that size. And so we should just be showing the beauty and the fun style across the board. And there are runways that do it and there are brands that do it right. It is possible. Those runways look good. Those runways look fashionable. Yes. Those runways are not lesser or less than, but there's still such a stigma and a bias against fatness and fashion that it can be that the combination of all that can be really rough. And then, like I said, the street style photography thing is wild. One of my friends who's a professor at LIM, she teaches a class, and she had her students do a analysis of all the Getty images from last season. And of over 3,000 photos on Getty for street style, it was 1.4% were of plus size people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And again, not surprising, but appalling when you see the number right there. I've seen this so many times where the photographers will literally, they will walk up and they will see a plus size woman walking up, but they will put their camera down and they'll just stand there doing nothing. It's not like they're like, oh, we have to choose between 8 different outfits and we have to decide. They're standing there being like,
it's wild.
Like, that's literally what it is. And it's wild. And some of the outfits are like, these are looks, like it's myself, honestly, but then also other women there. And I'm like, these women are in the trends, in the things that are going to be featured in the slideshows and the magazines.
Yes.
They have really cool personal style. It's really interesting and visually like exciting. All the things that make a good street style photo, but they just don't have a body that these photographers can see fashion on. So they literally will look at this person like, there is not fashion. And then they will see someone else who's tall and thin and mostly white. And they're like, yes, fashion. Even if it's the most basic, boring, nothing outfit.
Yes.
There will be a swarm of photographers around that person. It's wild. And it's not new. It does seem like it's getting worse lately, which is honestly so frustrating because, like I said, a lot of us have been doing this for years. I've been doing this for a decade. There were men that came before me, like Maddie of Plus Model Magazine and Gabby Fresh, who's been doing it for 15 years, and Kelly Brown. And there's all these women who've been doing this for even longer. And they've all been fighting for this for a really long time too. And I've been doing this for a decade. And I know women who've come up shortly after me have been doing it for 7, 8 years. There are women who have been pushing and fighting really hard for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And we're still almost where we started, and sometimes even worse. And that's really frustrating and painful because we're not a niche market. We're not like
the majority market.
We're the vast majority. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people at Fashion Week or at fashion events. They're like, oh, they ask like what I do, and I'll say I'm a plus blogger. They're like, oh, that's so great. You have such a good niche. I'm like, we're not a niche.
We're the majority.
I know, like you have a niche actually.
Yes.
But it's really wild because it's still really thought of in that way of that this is just like a niche market and it's not real fashion. It's just an offshoot. It's not anything to be taken seriously or given due respect, or it's just treated as like specialty. And then the thing that I was really worried about when we were seeing those heights of Fashion Week where we had 3.8%, which was the highest we've ever had. I wrote an article about this and I was talking to other people about like other my peers about this, like Kelly Brown, for example. They're treating it like a trend, and we know what happens to trends.
They die.
And that was the exact fear I had. And she said that, and I was like, that's exactly what I've been thinking. And now I feel like we're seeing the other side of that. We're seeing like, oh, that was like last year. That was pre-pandemic or whatever the case may be. And now they're back to talking about heroin chic. And they're talking about, I frankly think the Ozempic craze and the media coverage of that and the way it's being treated as a moment and as a fashion flashpoint, I think that's really harmful. When you know where to look and when you're in it, you see the signs and it's really obvious as to what's happening. I grew up with that. I grew up in the 90s and I grew up seeing that heroin chic.
That's all we saw.
And then the low-rise jeans are only for if your hip bones are protruding. I saw the harm that it does. And I think a lot of younger people don't necessarily realize how bad it can get because they've seen in the last few years, they've seen things get marginally better and they've seen a little bit more inclusion. It can be really harmful and really damaging, and not just a fat woman. It's damaging for everyone. Yes. That's the other thing that a message I always want to get across is I think sometimes people think fat phobia is not going to affect them if they're not fat. I think they think that I'm on the winning side of it, right? I'm small. I don't actually, this isn't, this, that's a them issue. That's not a me issue. But from experience, I can tell you if fat phobia is reigning, if an ultra thin body is the thing of the moment and is the beauty standard, that hurts all women. That obviously hurts fat women. It hurts curvier, mid-sized women, but also hurts very thin women because then it's a sort of Damocles of fatness hanging over your head where men will use it to manipulate you. What if you gain weight? You're skinny now, but what if you get bigger? And they'll use that as a manipulation tactic, and people will put their value in them as if they break their leg and they can't do their vigorous workout then and they've gained some weight, then they lose their value. And that's not what our value as women should be around. We should just be able to be who we are and exist as bodies that are natural and comfortable and healthy for us and not have to contort ourselves and shrink ourselves to be something that was whatever is deemed fashionable at the moment. There's natural variety and natural beauty. There's a range of body types that will naturally exist, and we should all be able to exist with equal treatment and have clothes and have representation and be treated with the same respect.
I think about runway shows, as you said, it was like pre-pandemic when we really were really moving into like that body inclusivity. And even maybe I want to say like 2021, Sarah.
Yeah, maybe
early 2022, really seeing more inclusion on the runway where we would have seen, like you said, that high 3%. And I don't know about you, but when you see those people walk down the runway, the literal cheers, the actual like cheers. And to me, it's like that cheering, that means something. That means
Right. And especially in fashion, which can be very like stoic and like very everyone's just there and it's very serious, but joy bursts through when you see besides diversity on the runway, when you see differently abled people, yes. disabled people in wheelchairs and things like that on the runway, that you see that and people yes. are here for it. And it's wild because I see it in the engagement of my own stuff of what I post. People like, I posted this season, the runway walk that got the most like positive engagement, the most excitement and shares and people like commenting and just like really being excited about it was at Bruce Glenn, which is this really cool designer. They had a model who's also apparently an actress. I didn't know this when I saw her. She's like, this model's amazing, but she's apparently an actress at Harlem as well. And her walk was just, she was just, you could tell she just felt good and like yes. she looked good. She looked amazing. She yes. was in this rainbow, like ombre silk slip dress. And it was the coolest thing. And she was working the runway. Absolutely. And people were like, cheering, and it was just like this joyous moment. And it's like, why can't we have more of this? Why wouldn't you want more of this? And also you see the from a business perspective. So I, one of the other things I do is consulting for brands that are extending their size. Yeah. I've told this to so many clients and potential clients, like this is a market that is not only like the most populous market and the most potential for growth. There's tons of statistics to back that up as far as in the fashion industry, like you can really have a huge growth if you expand into this into the plus size range if you do it well. But there's also a lot of statistics that back it up that we are the most loyal customer base, right?
Yes.
If you get plus size people and you are serving us and you're treating us with respect and the same respect and dignity that you treat the straight size customer base and you make cool clothes that we want to buy, we will come back and we will buy again and again. And anyone who works in fashion knows it's really hard to get that repeat customer and it's so valuable when you do. And here we are, the majority of the population just waiting for to find that brand that is our brand that is going to be the one true brand that we shell out money on season after season. And still so many brands are ignoring us. It's a systemic thing. It starts in fashion school. It's not really taught in fashion school. I've heard so many stories from people who at their fashion school, they were told that if they tried to do a plus model, they were told that they either couldn't, or that if they did, they'd have to pay for it out of their own pocket. Like the model stipend that the students get wouldn't be allocated to a plus model because it wasn't a real model, because a lot of the teachers don't know, because it's a cascading thing where there's not the information. And then because it's not mentioned at all, it's just roundly ignored throughout. And then when someone like me or another plus blogger or person speaks up and says, hey, no, we're actually here and there's a lot of us, we're met with either blank looks or disbelief because they're like, what? No, but how have I never heard about it before?
Which is wild because like we said with the cheering, if you see that many people happy about seeing that walk down the runway, or as you said, if you look at any of the brands who have done plus fashion, people, as you said, being so loyal to them, why wouldn't we see that as, yes, this is what we need to do? Like the writing is on the wall.
No, totally. And honestly, I think, unfortunately, I think the answer for a lot of that is fat phobia. Like I think for a lot of, not for every brand, I think I definitely see some younger brands who are like, especially younger designers who are trying to do it and they're taking steps to do it in a way that is like feasible for them as a small brand. And I see that and I appreciate that. Like I know designers will like some very small brands will add one size as they can and just keep building upon that. Right. I love that. I'd rather see progress and like a true effort than nothing at all. But for a lot of the more established brands that do have the capital to do that and would be able to work with a technical fit consultant or would be able to work to expand their size range and would be able to do that without breaking themselves, one of the main reasons for a lot of them is because they really don't think that fatness and fashion go together. They think that they see this idea of who is fashionable and it's like the street style photographers are like, this is a fat person. That's not fashion. How close-minded you have to be that you can't see fashion on a body that's not, that's wild to me.
I love what you said about fashion and fatness being separate. And literally, Sarah, what you do is show that doesn't have to be separate and that there can be joy found. And I just love when you were talking about your wedding photos and when you were able to go back and say, oh no, that is joy on my face. And as we were saying, seeing that model walk down the runway, hearing the cheers, oh, that is joy coming from the people watching. Like the two can coexist. The body and the joy can be one. And I just love that you have created a platform that shows that.
Thank you. It's a lot of work. And I think a lot of, no one really has a reason to know, but I think a lot of people who are in industry don't know how much like work goes into it, but it's something that's so fulfilling to me and it makes me really happy. Sometimes I'll be feeling down because I'm getting excluded on an industry level or because as an influencer and things like that, we get plus influencers get paid a lot less and we get a lot less opportunities, even on things that aren't clothes based. Or like it's one thing if a brand doesn't have plus, obviously they're not going to work with us, but it'll be something along the lines of a makeup brand or a travel company or something that there's no size limit. And they just won't look at us because we're not considered aspirational or whatever the case may be. So they don't offer these brands to us. I can feel a little down about that, but then I'll get a message from someone saying, hey, I want to let you know I went on vacation. And for the first time in 10 years, I wore a bathing suit because of you. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to cry. And I'm a Cancer, so I cry all the time.
I always talk about how if it's good for one person, that means it's good for a lot. You actually said earlier on when you were talking about first it starting in your Tumblr days, you were like, if one other person can see this and be impacted, that's it. And I feel like that's what you're doing every day. Like, you have built such a community around you. So heck yes, more than one person is seeing that and is impacted. But like, absolutely, those messages, you deciding to do this with your life changed your life.
Yeah,
that changes that person's life, changed their vacation. And that, again, to bring it full circle, is the type of media that we need to be consuming and that we deserve to have out there and that we want in our feeds and on our television screens and in our magazines and on our runways. We need that so that there can be more messages like that coming in.
I think there needs to be some systemic change. And I'm like trying to work on something for that, because I think there needs to be a bigger push, because clearly it's not going to happen with just us. But I think like straight size people, if they want to be allies for that, I want to set up an allyship program. Because if you go into a store and you ask, hey, what's your size range? And you're a size six, but they say, oh, don't worry, we go up to an XL. And you're like, okay, I prefer to shop at brands that actually have plus size inclusion, and you leave, that sends a message. Because I can go into those stores and say, hey, I'd love to shop this. And they're like, okay, who cares? Like, they might not say who cares, but I've gotten the shrugs or, oh, we'll let them know. Like,
their customer anyway. If they lose their customer because of that customer being an ally, you're so right. That does make such a difference.
Yeah. It holds their feet to a fire in a way that we can't, unfortunately can't do, because we were being excluded. You can't boycott something if you're not part of it. I think there's a lot of different ways to do that. I'm going to set up a little program around that, because I think it's something that I know a lot of people are like, I want to do something to help. And I'm like, okay, let's find a way that you can do it in a way that's not going to be take over your life, but that is going to be a consistent way that you can support us, because there's so many of us. And like I said, like a system that excludes fat people, even if you currently have clothes in your size, it reinforces the idea that fat is bad and thin is good. And that's not a net positive for a woman, no matter what your size.
Absolutely. So. I want to talk about New York Plus a little bit, because you said, obviously, you want to work to implement this allyship system. So New York Plus is for the New York Plus community and beyond, but I want you to talk about it.
Yeah, totally. New York City Plus is something that I founded actually right before the pandemic, which was great timing. But it's an in-person community and we do like monthly events, ideally monthly. We've had some setbacks, obviously, with the pandemic and everything like that. But it's to bring people together. And I started it because one of the things, I was talking to some of my other Plus blogger friends, and I was talking about how lucky I felt to be able to have that community. And I think it was post Fashion Week that like February 2020 or the September 2020, I was like, I'm glad I'm able to come to like now an event that's like all plus size people, because it's like a palate cleanser after being the only fat person in the room for the most for a week. And I was like, I'm really grateful I have this. And then I was thinking about everyone else who's not an influencer, who didn't decide to put their entire life on the internet. They don't have that. They didn't have access to that type of community. They didn't have a space where they could go and be around other plus size babes and have that sense of community. And I knew how powerful that was for me. So I was like, okay, how can I do this? And so I started this thing where we do monthly events. And like, we started off with just like drinks at a bar, like a really cute bar, and a partner with the Union Square Hospitality Group. They like set us up in a cute lounge and we all got together and chatted. And then our second event was like sips and self-love. And we did like body positivity workshops and talking about like self-love in our relationship. And it was a safe space where people could talk about that and not feel like the odd man out, to discuss their relationship with their body and like their experiences with fat phobia and how that affected them and how that affects their self-image. And that was January, February. And then March obviously didn't happen. Post-vaccines, we came back and had some outdoor events. One of the biggest ones that we've done so far that's been really cool is we've been doing an annual beach day. And so that's the last Saturday in July. If anyone wants to come this year, we'd love to have you. And it's such a fun event because it's something where I've had women tell me it's the first time they felt at home in their body in the beach, or the first time they felt comfortable wearing that bikini because they knew they were going to be surrounded by other plus women, or just it's the best day they've ever had at the beach. And I get to be a part of that. And I love that, because one of the things I don't love about being an influencer sometimes is it's very me focused. I obviously love to talk. I can talk all day, but I don't actually want it to be all about me. So this is a way I can, it's not about me, it's about the community. And I can support that and use the connections that I've gotten with brands and things like that to do like cool events. And that way, if you are a lawyer or if you were a doctor or whatever, and you don't want to put your entire life online, you don't have to have access to that type of community. So New York City Plus honestly gives me such joy. Like every time I do an event, I leave and I'm like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is it. It's this big like sigh of, okay, I am doing the right thing. This is the work I'm meant to be doing. It makes me so happy and I feel so fulfilled. I think it's so important that people know that there are people out there who are like actually care about them and will use what the resources we have and the resources we've been able to build to actually push for a better society for all of us.
Speaking of the brands that you feel like they're not being included, I want to talk about those that you have found to be inclusive, those that you have done fitting room try-ons with, because I feel like that is something very iconic for your brand is you go in the fitting room and you say, okay, this is the experience as a plus woman, what I'm trying on, this is how it fits. I think that's so beyond helpful. So tell us, like, how did you get into that? Was that just you organically started filming yourself one day? Or did your community ask for that?
I used to be very nervous talking on camera, believe it or not. I used to be very, just any sort of public speaking whatsoever, I was very anti. But I actually came up with the idea of it, funnily enough, when I was like an editor of my like high school yearbook. I was like, why can't we just do a fashion story where we go into the store and try things on and take pictures in the store?
Yeah.
And they're like, stores would never allow that. And fast forward to many years
later. Let me tell you. You want to bet?
At some point, I would just be trying things on when there started to be some plus size in store. Because for a while, it was all online only. But I feel like I started, my first in the fitting room was probably like Forever 21, I'd say, when their Times Square store had plus size in store. It was one of the first stores that had it. And I would brave Times Square because as a New Yorker, we do not go to Times Square.
But we avoid it at all costs. But that shows how committed you are to the cause, Sarah.
Yeah. No, I would go down there and I'd try stuff on and I'd be like, okay, like these are the things I got. These are the things I didn't get. But here, in case it's helpful for you. And I started with just photos, but then eventually I was like, okay, I could do more information if I started talking. So then I just, my camera phone in the mirror and just talking about like, all right, this is how this fits. This is actually a little small in the bust, but if you're less busty, this could work for you. And I just chat through that. And I'm very, like, very conversational, very, like, friendly. And it's approachable for people who sometimes feel like they haven't been able to hear or see fashion on a body that's like them. I'm like 5'4". I'm like an 18-20. I'm very average as far as the average size, I think, is at 18 right now, 16, 18, or maybe an even 18. And then the average height is 5'5". So I'm pretty close to that average, but still, you don't see that often. Even a lot of plus models, I have so many plus model friends who are absolutely gorgeous and I'm like, hi, because there's so much. Yes. There's so much, like, and things sit differently. If your size 14 is spread out across 5'11", like that is a very different body than someone who's 5'4" and has large boobs and has a belly and things like that. Just seeing things on me has been empowering for people, but also helps them figure out what they want to buy. And then it's ended up being a really good thing for my brand partners too, because again, when people see something that they're like, this, that gives me an idea of what's going to look like on me. That can help be the difference between whether I'm going to buy this or maybe I don't know if it's going to work for me. They see it on me. They're like, oh, if it works for her, it's probably going to work for me. People have told me it's like shopping with their best friend, which I think is super sweet. So I love that.
Yes. No, that is what it feels like. Bella Gerard, who we both know, she's been on the podcast. She actually listed her sizing. I think she lists her sizing on all of her profiles, but she said it in the podcast too. She's, I'm around a size 12 and I'm 5'1". And I was like, girl, yeah, that's why I've been following you for years, because we're the same size. Yeah. And when you try something on, I know how it's going to fit me. And as you said, sometimes we don't have the chance to go into a store, or some people, as you said too, don't even have their sizing in their store.
Yeah.
So if you see how it's working on someone else, you could order it. But it also, for me with Bella, and I'm sure these women seeing you try these things on, and I just use her as an example because she's someone that we both know and she's been a podcast.
She's amazing. I love her.
Yeah, she's so awesome. It helps you get outside of your comfort zone too.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, if that looked good on that person, I could rock that as well. Because as you said at the beginning, so often in this space, we're taught to minimize and not wear stripes and wear certain colors. And that's just not the case. Once again, you can wear whatever you want, but seeing someone who does it and who looks like you is, oh yeah, actually I can do it. And that gives you the confidence to put on the outfit. We launched the BodyCon app right after the conference at the beginning of March. And we've been doing challenges in there. And one of the challenges is to wear something that you've been afraid to wear otherwise. And that's, it sounds so simple, but it's not. Like, it can be really scary to put on a new color or a new pattern or something from a new brand. And I think that you really take away that barrier, or you bridge that gap for people to see, oh yes, that could work for me.
Yeah, I used to only wear black. I'd wear black cardigans. I'd wear cardigans the summer. I was at the club in a cardigan. I was covering these arms up like my life depended on it. I honestly was not okay with my body. I thought my body was something shameful. I thought it was bad and something that needed to be hidden and minimized. I was in dark wash jeans and I was in black tops and black cardigans. And then so it was like those before photos where I was younger and I was smaller and I could have been so cute, but I was dressing like a middle-aged secretary because I thought that's what I must do because I thought my body was bad and wrong and not for fashion.
What's wild is so often to what you said, you look back at that past photo and you're like, wow, Sarah, you were actually really beautiful and you could have been wearing all these things and you were keeping yourself, right? Like, why hold ourselves right now in this moment being like, oh, I'll do it when I look this way or when I do this. No, enjoy that now. Allow yourself to enjoy it now. Because like you said, this was said to me recently and I love it. It's not always about how it looks, but it's always about how it feels.
The thing that does give me a little hope is I think more and more people care about this now than they did before. I spoke to a friend's class last semester and talked to a lot of the students, and the students were like, absolutely, brands should be doing this. Why aren't you? Like, they were so clear with it and it wasn't even a question for them, and the representation and like the having representation for different body sizes and for different ethnicities and races and like abilities and things like that. I think there are definitely people who are very interested in keeping the status quo, and it's interesting to see how that's been on party lines. I don't know if you guys saw the horrible Candace Owens video today. Where she said it was stupid to have a disabled person in a Skims advertisement, which is really everything you could say about it. I don't even have anything to add to that, because dear God, how could you be so bigoted that you're like, this is stupid, like that one. But just to see that there are people who don't want to see the change. There are people who are so against any sort of inclusivity, even if it's something that seems like it should be a no-brainer, is let's make sure disabled people can see themselves in advertisements too. Fatphobia is one of those things that's like very strongly ingrained and people find it very acceptable, but like when you see where they're like, we don't want to see anybody that's not a Victoria's Secret model ever, you're like, oh wow, you're really committed to the bit of being a horrible person.
I agree. Sarah, you are a trailblazer in it. I'm so thankful for you being, like I said at the beginning, an OG in this space, someone that I've looked up to. And I feel so happy that you were able to come on here, share what it is that you're doing, because I know that it is so impactful. And as you said, you hear all the time that it's impactful, but I want you to hear it even more. I'm going to pump you up, girl. I always say, I'm like, I'm a professional hype woman. That's what I do. And seriously, like, you are a trailblazer. You are making a difference. And I know that it's sometimes hard to see it in the moment, but I know that the impact, sure, now, but beyond, is there. So thank you so much for what you do, for sharing. And I'd love for you to shout out, obviously, where we can find you on socials, and where we can find all that you're doing, because you're constantly growing. And as you said, you're adding new things. If someone wants to see you do a try on, give us all the details. Where can we find you?
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for all the kind words. I appreciate that. And it is, you're right. Sometimes that you're not in the moment, you're like, oh, what's happening? But if you take a look back, as a community, we have been able to do really cool things. And I'm grateful to be part of that. Curvily, pretty much everywhere, CURVILY. That's Curvily on Instagram, on TikTok, Facebook, even though I just cross post there. And I also have my own website, curvilyfashion.com, where I have like things like, I do big shopping guides, things like workwear and swimwear and like all the different places to find that denim, whatever.
You just did 100 spring dresses, which I thought was a stellar piece. So
thank you. Yeah, no, I spend a lot of because I like care about fashion, and also because I want to like make sure plus size babes are getting the best options and everything. I spend a lot of time like scouring the internet, finding out what's out there. And I like to be able to put it in one place where I've done the work for you. You don't have to go around trying to find what's cute out there, because there's so many websites where there's two things that are cute and everything else is sad. But if I can pull those two things out and put them in a post with 98 other cute things, then if those two things are the dress you're looking for, if one of those two things is like the dress, then you can find it without having to look through 80 websites where there's sometimes just a handful of things that are worth a damn. Because there is still a lot of ugly plus size fashion out there. There's still, you can see some of the biases and what is available. There's a lot of things that look like they are for, they're like, oh, trendy. And it looks like it's for a mother of a bride. I'm not the youngest person, but I don't want to be in something that looks like I am a grandma. I'm not a grandma.
Right. Where you want to wear.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to wear grandma core, that's cool, but there should be options for us. Just in the same way there are options for everyone else, there should be options for plus size people. So I'm all about finding that and putting them all together in the same place. And then also, if you want to come join one of our events, we're at New York City Plus, all spelled out, New York City Plus on Instagram. And that's where we post all our events. And then the tickets and stuff are on Eventbrite. But yeah, Curvily is my Instagram, is my main one. TikTok is like growing. I'm like doing a little bit more there lately. But yeah, definitely come say hi. And if you found me through this, come say hi and send me a DM. I talk to my readers a lot in DMs. I have a very like active DM section because I love chatting. Like for me, I very much consider this, I could call my readers either readers or my community, because I think we are a community. And if I could put us all in one big room and have a big in-person event, I would do that. But it would be a very large room.
I love it. I can't wait for this episode to be in everyone's ears. And you can always listen to this episode and others that we've done on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. We also stream the video on YouTube, where you can see Sarah and I smiling and just having a good time. So be sure to check us out there. Also, Sarah said, we're all about community. We know that community allows us to see others who are going through the same things as us. It gives us new ideas and just really pumps us up and makes us feel empowered. Make sure, yes, to find us on socials at the BodCon, but also join us on the BodCon app, where we're having tons of community conversation and we're doing challenges to keep us all inspired and really boosting the confidence every day. So, Sarah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Bod Pod. We release new episodes every week, and we're available on all podcast streaming platforms and now YouTube too. Subscribe to our channels to be the first to know. Want to talk all things body confidence, enter amazing giveaways, and hear updates about the BodCon 2023? Find us on Instagram at the BodCon. My name's Rachel K. Grimm, and I'll see you next week.